Amen. Let us pray. Lift your hands up. He is the name above all names. God has highly exalted the name of Jesus, giving him such a name that is highly exalted. The stone which the builders rejected, God has made it the chief cornerstone. And that every knee and every tongue should bow to him and should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you this morning. Do you love him?
Yeah.
Praise God. We love you this morning, Lord. We thank you. The Bible says that he loved us first. You know, you could never love the Lord as much as he loved you. And he already done too much for us. Hallelujah. Jesus, he loved us so much. Lord, we love you this morning. And we give you all the praise and give you all the glory. And Lord, presence, your presence that is here this morning, let it be a soothing presence. Let it be a calming presence. Let it be a healing presence. Let it be a comforting presence. Let it be a saving presence in the name of Jesus. An assuring presence here this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And as always, the entrance of your word brings light. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team. You may be seated. Good morning, everybody. Oh, let's try that again. Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, and this is GMI Church. And we want you to join right in. If you're watching online or later on, join right in, and the Lord is going to bless your hearts. Amen. This morning, we will be talking, we're going to pick a text from Revelation chapter 17 and 14. However, that's not the subject material in that chapter this morning, but our subject today is called and chosen and faithful. So that's our message this morning, called and chosen and faithful. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14 talks about Christ when he comes back, that the, you know, those that are with him, you know, and the Antichrist and all this stuff, you know, and the kingdoms of this world, they can, you know, they can reject the law for how long they want. But at the end, even when they try to make war against the law, yeah, and try to make war against the Lamb, you know, the Lamb shall overcome them. Amen. Because he is Lord of Lords and is King of Kings. And they that are with him, that's the subject today, they are called, they are chosen, and faithful. So called, chosen, and faithful. Praise God. So we're going to be talking about those three things. Called. Who are the called? Well, the Bible says that all things work together for those who are the called. According to, you know, God's own ways, all things work together to God. So let's talk about those who are the called. Now, you know, as we go through this, consider, you know, just picture in your mind a pyramid, you know, a pyramid. At the base is generally a whole lot bigger, and it narrows as you go towards the top. Everybody understand how the pyramid looks? Yeah? If you understand, say yeah. All right. So the pyramid, you know, there's a, so you can consider all the peoples of this world at the bottom. And many are called out of all the peoples that are in this world. Now, how does God do, how exactly does God do the calling? Well, he does it through the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Praise God. Are you with me this morning? Or are you a bit distracted? You know, put your mind on the message of the Lord. Don't be distracted. You know,
God calls through the preaching of the gospel. That's how he calls. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14, we are told that many are called, but few are chosen. And even fewer yet are faithful. You know, so we're going to be talking about that today. Now, the calling that God does, there's a parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13. He told this parable in verses 47 and 48. Now, that whole chapter talks about a lot of parables and so on. You know, but this one, this is just the one I want to talk about this morning. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that is cast into the sea and gathers of every kind. You know, gathers, you know. So that's like, look, a lot are called, you know. And then when it was full, they drew it to shore. And then they sat down and then they separated. See? So, you know, it started out with all kinds of fish in that net. And then at the end, there was a separation, you know. And then the good, they put into vessels. And then the bad ones, they cast away, you know. So you find out that, you know, it's not exactly all those that came into the net at the beginning, you know, were selected at the end. You know, some of them turned out to be bad, even though they all came into the net. Are you still with me, folks? That's right. You know, so, but stay with this message. We haven't quite finished yet. Now, one of the ways that the Lord calls us or calls anybody is a great invitation that the Lord has thrown out of there, you know, to everybody. You know, he said in Matthew 11 and 28, you know, he said, look, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he puts that, you know, invitation out there. And the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come and take freely of the water of life. So that's an invitation that goes out to everybody, but not everybody is going to take it. But even when some do take it, you know, we may find out that, you know, there's still a falling away, you know, and so on. You know, now, I won't spend a whole lot of time on the called. I want to talk more about the chosen. But I'm going to give a call at the end of this for somebody or some people to have an opportunity to get in as well. You know, but let me talk about the chosen. So first we start with those who are called. And we saw that in the ministry of Jesus Christ, he went out and did all kinds of miracles when he was here earthly. And it seemed as if many people were called, you know, by the miracles and the bread that he multiplied, and they thronged him. They followed him because they saw the miracles. Jesus himself said it. You follow me not because of the word, but because you saw the miracles. So a lot of people followed him because of the miracles, the bread, the fishes that he multiplied, and all these things that he did. But when he began to give the word, see, when he began to say, I am the true bread that came down from heaven. And Moses gave you not that true bread. And except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no part of me. When he began to bring that word razor sharp, then they began to fall away. See? So they were called, it seemed like, with the miracles and stuff like that. But by the word, they are chosen. See? Because when he brought that word, you know, then we find out that, you know, and then Jesus one time said, will you also depart? Will you also go away? And Peter, as always, quick to jump up, he said, well, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So we see that through the miracles and everything, many people were called. They thronged him. They followed him. But by the word, it seemed like that word brought a separation, you know, and they couldn't take the word, you know. When Jesus said, I and my Father are one, then they took up stones to kill him. You know, because they couldn't, you know, Jesus looked at them and said, well, you cannot receive my word because you are none of mine. If you were mine, you would receive my word. So we see that that word brought that separation at that time. But let's see, how does God choose? See, how exactly does God choose? Now, we don't know whom God has chosen. You know, there is not, you know, until we see the fruits later on, you cannot tell. You might be looking at somebody who is a stark unbeliever right now. you cannot tell that they are not chosen. Amen. Because that's in God's hands. You know, God doesn't share that with anybody. You know, he knows who he is going to call. In fact, as a matter of fact, blessed is the man, Psalm 65 and verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. You know, so the Lord is the one that chooses, you know, and the world is the one that causes people to come. Amen. That he may dwell in thy courts and so forth. You know, so God does the choosing. But I'm going to tell you something interesting here this morning. You know, when we look at all the things that God did in the Bible and how he chose people and so forth, you know, there is an interesting scripture that we are going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read from verse 26. I can read many more verses of that chapter to give context, but I don't want this to be a very long message, so I'm going to abbreviate it, and I'll just start at verse 26. For ye see your calling, see, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many even noble are called. Even after the calling, there's still some choosing, you know. But God has chosen, see. Now look at those two words, the called and the chosen. You know, now God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound things which are mighty. And the base things of this world which are despised, things that are despised, hath God chosen. And things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that already are. So that no flesh, this is where we're going today, folks. So that no flesh should glory in his presence. Can somebody say amen? God doesn't want anybody to glory in his flesh. So he takes the things that are despised and rejected of men. Those are the ones that he picks. Isaiah chapter 55 tells us, say, my ways are not your ways. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. You know, as the heavens are far above the earth, so is the distance between God's ways and our ways. Because we look after the outward appearance, folks, but God looks after the heart. Hallelujah. You know, and God has a way of doing things. And I'll tell you a story here in the Bible. And I will preface it by, all of you know the story, and hopefully most people do, the story of how God, you know, allowed Israel initially to have Saul as a king, because they were asking and clamoring for king. And finally, Saul disobeyed the Lord, and he did not sanctify the word of God, so God rejected him. And God would choose for himself another king. So he calls Samuel, and he sends him in Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. So God calls Samuel and says, hey, go over here and so forth. You know, call, you know, the sons of Jesse and all this stuff and so on. You know, and God's going to do something. Now, the person that would eventually be chosen by God was not even invited initially to the coronation ceremony. Now, Samuel knew that he was going to go choose a king. See? So when he got there, and he knew it was the sons of Jesse, because the Lord told him that much. So they began to bring everybody and so forth. And he saw the first one. So let's read 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let me pick it up at perhaps verse 7. And we look at the first one here. You know, you can read the first few verses before that. But, you know, they brought the first one, you know, all these guys and so forth, Eliab and the rest of them. And they looked, you know, they looked really good, you know. I mean, he was tall and handsome and so forth. And Samuel said, no doubt, this is the one that God has chosen. Because he looks really good, you know. Praise God. And the Lord said, The Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh after the outward appearance, But the Lord looketh on the heart. Hallelujah. You know, so, you know, and the first one came, God rejected him. The second one came, he was also looking good, you know. I mean, these were tall, trained, you know, they were trained in military, you know, prowess and so forth. You know, they look really good. And God rejected every last one of them. You know, so finally, isn't there another one of your sons besides? Because, you know, God still didn't tell him, you know. Now, God doesn't owe you anything, any explanation about anything. Praise God. You know, some people think that God has to tell them everything. You know, God doesn't have to tell you nothing. You know, he tells you when he wants to tell you. Praise God. He tells you it's on a need-to-know basis. You know, so what you need to know is go over there, you know, and I'm going to choose a king today. You go over there, invite these people in. You know, so that's all you need to know. You know, so God was looking at him. God was actually testing Samuel, too, with that, to see how his mind would go. And his mind is just like every one of us today. We look at the one that look really good, and you say, well, that's the one that God has chosen. You look at the person that is really eloquent, that knows how to speak, you know, and can speak very well. That's the one that has the anointing of God. You know, you look at this, you look at that, and so forth. You know, but that's not how God chooses. Amen. Praise God. And when Jesus would come and choose his disciples, you know, he could have chosen great lawyers and, you know, all the Pharisees and the people that knew how to twist the Bible backwards and upside down and everything. He didn't choose any of those. He went to fishermen, those who are not even, you know, taught, you know. He just went and picked the fishermen and all of these things, you know. So, now, that's a lesson to how God chooses. Let's read Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. After that, Jesus has sent out the disciples, you know, two by two and so forth into all the cities where he himself should go. And they came back and said, Lord, we did this and we did a great thing and so forth. And even the devils were subject to us. And Jesus told them, look, you know, don't rejoice over that, but rejoice because your names are in heaven. And then in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. And he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. That's not what God chooses, but has revealed them unto babes. For so it seemeth good in thy sight. Hallelujah. That's how God does his things. He doesn't do it the way that we think. You know, he will, you know, but however, God already knows all things ahead of time. That's why in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, we are told that we were chosen in him even before the world began. Praise God. Hello? Chosen in him. According as he has chosen us in him before the world began. But he didn't have conference with anybody on whom he was going to choose. Because you were not even there. Hallelujah. It was before the world began. And that's, Jesus said, look, that's how you should, that's why you should rejoice. Because you were chosen in him before the world began. And because your names are in the book of life, that's how you should rejoice. You know, don't rejoice about any of these other things. You know, I'm going to tell you a couple more stories here in the Bible. In the book of Romans chapter 9, from verses about 10 to about 16. This is a story, you know, he says Rebecca, when she was pregnant with twins. I love this story. You have to read all of it, and every time I read it, you know, it brings tears to my eyes, you know, tears of joy. When Rebecca was pregnant, you know, the children haven't done neither good nor evil. They have not been born, but she had twins. Neither of them had been born to say, well, it's because you did evil or it's because you didn't do evil. That the purpose of God, according to election, my stand. Hello, folks. Not of works. And not of him, you know, not of him that doeth and this and that, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And God, you know, God does that sometimes, you know, twist people up, you know, because they're thinking one way and so forth, you know, and all that, you know. Praise God. It's like when Jacob came in there and so forth, in Egypt, and he crossed his hands, you know, and Joseph would bring like Manasseh and Ephraim and all that, And Joseph expected the blessing to go this way. And I said, And he crossed his hands. Hallelujah. Because God knows what he is doing. And God knows who he is going to choose. But we don't, you know. But there's a lesson out of all of this, you know. So let's read through that. Chapter 9. Let's read through it quickly from verse 9. As it is written, he said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Yeah, well, you say, is there unrighteousness with God? No, you know. But, you know, this is what he does. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. You know, because, you know, this is the reason why God do it. So that we will know that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. Yet we should will, and we should run, but it is of God that ultimately shows mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not because, oh, I did all this great stuff, or I did all that great stuff, you know, and so forth. Because all of that, you know, and the way that people choose sometimes, Luke chapter 16 and verse 15 describes it well. You know, this is the way that people choose. They look at things that look good. But sometimes the things that are highly esteemed among men, the Bible says right here, he said, God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Now, what are the things that are highly esteemed among men? Amen? In fact, the book of James chapter 2 tells us the same thing. The first 10 chapters talks about this thing. He said, look, have not, you know, the faith of God with respect of persons. You know, so, I mean, as we are here right now, let's say the ushers are in the back, you know, and a couple of people come in. Well, the first one that comes in is a homeless guy that looks ragged and stinking. And another one pulls up right after him, you know, driving a flashy car, having all of these things and looking really good. And comes in and introduces himself, I'm Dr. such and such, you know. And then you look at this guy. Maybe there's only one seat left that you want to, you know, say where they can sit. And this guy that came in first, you were going to tell him to go sit down. And you see this other guy that looks really good, and he say, I'm doctor. So I say, oh, no. You know, get rid of the other guy. And put the guy that looks really nice, that looks very good, you know, let him sit in that seat. And let the one that is homeless, ragged, ugly looking, let him sit under your foot and you kick him around and so on. You know, that's what James chapter 2 is talking about. He said, when you do that, he said, you commit sin. Amen? Let me read it to you in case you don't believe it. Turn with me to James chapter 2. And let's look quickly at verses 1 through 10. You know, this is what he's talking about here. James chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in godly apparel and so forth, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing and so forth, like the doctor and this and nice car and everything, and you say to him, sit thou in a good place. And you say to the poor, sit there over there under my footstool. He said, when you do that, are ye not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? And he said, look, hearken, my beloved brethren, God hath not chosen, you see, the rich. He said, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, but rich in faith. Hallelujah. To be heirs of the kingdom that he hath promised to them that love him, you know. But you despise the poor. You know, people despise the poor. You know, most people, they're not comfortable around, you know, people that are smelly, you know, live on the street. They're not comfortable. You know, I remember years ago when we used to bring the homeless people, you know, some people, you know, just run when you bring the homeless people into the assembly. You know, they're not comfortable around those people. You know, they'd rather have, you know, only the people that look good and so forth. Well, and he said, look, isn't it the rich people that actually oppress you? Isn't it rich people that draw you out before, you know, the judgment seat? He said, but when you do these things, you blaspheme, you know, I mean, these people that are blaspheming the name of the Lord, aren't they the ones that you are now respecting and so forth, just because they are rich? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, like thou shalt love the Lord thy God and so forth, you do well. But If you do this kind of dissemination and have respect of persons, ye commit sin. I wanted to bring this out because some of you don't know it's actually sin. And he's going to go out here and tell you that you can keep every sin, but if you break this one, you are guilty of all. That's what he says right here. He said, look, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one is guilty of all. And this thing is sin. This thing of looking at somebody that looks good and preferring them over another is a sin, folks. And if you are guilty of it, then you are guilty of all. May the Lord help all of us in Jesus' name. Now, but how do we know who shall be saved? Well, we don't know. God knows. But I'm going to tell you an illustration which God gave to me years ago to help me to understand this thing. You see, this is the way it works. It's like a two-sided door. You know, it's a two-sided door. You might say, this is a parable, you know, let me say it this way. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto, you know, this two-sided door. On the one side of the door where everybody is there, you know, so everybody is on this side of the door, and you're looking at an inscription on the door. And the inscription says, whosoever will, let him come inside this door. That's the invitation. That's what everybody gets. You know, everybody is there. The door is there, big, great door. Nobody can enter in. It's closed. But he says, whosoever will, let him come in through this door. And some people will come in. Some people will not come in. I'm saying, yeah, what is he doing? I don't care. You know, I walk away. And then when you get to the other side of the door, and then you look back, there's another inscription on the other side of the door. And that inscription says, you have been chosen. Hello? That's right. See, when they were outside, they didn't know they were chosen. Nobody knows they were chosen. But when they get inside and they look back on the door, and they say, wow, you have been chosen. Hallelujah. Because blessed is the man whom God chooses and causes. God is the one that God does the choosing. So we don't know. We have to preach the gospel to everybody. We have to love everybody the same. You don't know whom God has chosen. And somebody may be doing wickedly today. You don't know that tomorrow they're not going to be the champion of the gospel. It's in the Bible. You know, Saul, you know, of Tarsus, he was killing the disciples and taking orders from the chief priests and so forth, hauling them to Jerusalem, getting them killed and everything. But the next thing you know, when Jesus got a hold of him, he became the champion of the gospel. Amen. So, and even the believers didn't believe him, you know, so that he said, we can't trust this guy. You know, so you never know how God is going to do this thing. So let's be really careful. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, said the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Praise the Lord. Now let's go quickly to the other part, which is faithful. We've talked about called. We've talked about chosen. Let's talk about faithful. Now remember, the people that are with him, they are not only called, they are chosen, and they are faithful. Now, many are called, and few are chosen. But even out of the fewer, I mean, out of few that are chosen, even fewer are faithful. But the people that are with Christ at the end, they were called, they were chosen, and they will be faithful. Hallelujah. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, he talks about, you know, in that whole chapter talking about the end time and all the things that shall happen and so forth. Now, you know, that's not our subject today, but he that shall endure to the end, that's the faithful, the same shall be saved. Amen. Endure to the end. You know, not just start the race. You start the race, you jump out ahead of everybody and so forth, and then you fall by the wayside. No, you slow and steady. Amen. You keep keeping on until the end. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. Matthew 10, 22. The same principle is told unto us here. You know, he said, look, even when they are hating you, when they are persecuting you and so forth, you hang in there, you know, and so forth. For he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. That's talking about, you know, this endurance to the end, just like we heard last week, the commitment and so forth, you know, and all that. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. I want to go through this very quickly because I have something else at the end. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, look, Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and all that, and you shall be have tribulation many days. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. There are many people that have had to give their life for this gospel. You know, I pray, you know, that you don't have to choose between your faith and your life. You know, but Jesus is saying here that if you had to choose, be faithful unto death. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And they overcame that devil, you know, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The story of Daniel. You know, these folks, you know, they made a law, penalty of death. You bow down when you hear the music and bow down to and worship the image and so forth, under the penalty of death. And they said, we're not going to do it. You know, and they brought him and said, last chance, penalty of death. You bow down, you'll be free to go. Or if you don't bow down, we're going to heat up the furnace 7 times and we're going to throw you in there. And they said, you know, we're not even going to meditate on how to answer. Hallelujah. Our answer is already made up. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. That settles it. There's no negotiation about that. However, even if he doesn't deliver us, yet we will not bow to your image. Amen. Hallelujah. I pray, you know, that I have that kind of faith. It's called fiery furnace faith. You know, they can go through. They don't care. You know, they say, look, we don't care. You can heat it up 100 times. God can deliver us if he wants to. We know he can. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. Hallelujah. Now, that's being faithful, folks. Faithful until the end. And, of course, God pulled them out of that fire. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, you say, well, what happens to people who are not faithful? Well, I preached a sermon some time back called Remember Lot's Wife. You can check it out. You know, it tells you all about it. But in the book of Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, that's where he talks about it. Luke 17 and verse 32 talks about, you know, and if you know the story, if you remember the story, the angel will pull them out because he wanted to destroy that place. And he gave them, he said, look, escape to the hills for your life and so on, you know. And they escaped, you know. Well, actually, he had to drag them out of there. He didn't really want to leave. And Lot was bargaining, hey, let me go over here. Let me go, you know, that over place looks green. Let me go over there, you know. And the Lord had mercy on him because of Abraham. The Lord had mercy on him, you know. And then when they left, you know, his wife, there's a reason, folks, why these stories are in the Bible. You know, his wife looked behind because her heart was still there. You know, her heart was there. And, wow, what happened to her? You know, the Bible says, well, she became a pillar of salt. Who knows what exactly happened there, but it's a great lesson. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Hands on the plow, guys. If you put your hands on the plow, that's Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. If you put your hands on the plow and you look back, Jesus said, no man having put his hand onto the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, it's kind of like the message of commitment. You start the race with God. You stay the course. Amen. Now, you say, well, who can do it? Well, you can't. I'm going to show you now how it can all be done. We cannot do this by our own power. Praise God. The moment you forget that and you think you're going to end up just like Peter. You know, because Peter is the one that got the great revelation. You know, when everybody else didn't know, who do men say that I, the son of a man, am? One said after this manner, the other said after that manner, and so forth. Peter said, look, after Jesus said, look, okay, what about you guys? Who do you say that I am? Peter said, look, thou art the Christ, the son of the living God. And the Lord said, wow, you know, flesh and blood has not, you can't learn that from the seminary or from any kind of school or whatever. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. It came straight from my Father, you know, hallelujah. The next minute, you know, we don't know if it was the next minute or not, but the next verse, could have been some time in between. The next verse down the road, Jesus began to tell them how he's going to go to Jerusalem and be killed and so forth. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. You are not going to do that, Lord. This is the same guy who just had this great revelation, you know. And the next thing he knows, you know, he lets his guard down. The enemy comes in there and he's trying to dissuade Jesus from the cross. And the Lord had to rebuke the devil in him. Amen. Don't let anyone dissuade you from the plan of God in your life. Amen. You know, you better rebuke that devil. I don't care if it's your spouse, your husband, your whoever. I rebuke you, he said. Get thee behind me, you know, Satan. And he called his name Peter too. Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. Now, this same Peter, one time he bragged. He said, look, if the everybody else would deny you, I would never deny you. I mean, he put his hand to his chest. Everybody else can, but me, I'll never deny you. And the Lord said, is that a fact? He said, yes, even to anything. And the Lord said, well, all right then. Before the cock crows twice tonight, you will have denied me three times. But I said, no, I can't do it. I won't do it. Because he was depending upon his own power. But of course, you know the story. He did deny the Lord. But then he remembered after the cock crew what the Lord said. And he broke down and he had godly repentance. Not like the other guy, but he had godly repentance. Praise the Lord. But you say, well, you know, so when you, if you think that you can be faithful, or if you think you can do this by yourself, you know, you have another thing coming. But God is able to see you through. Amen. Now, let me begin to close this down and tell you about Jesus himself. Jesus himself was rejected. You know, he was despised. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. He said, look, that he was despised. He was rejected of men and so forth. Nobody liked him. You know, nobody cared too much of him. You know, Bible even said in the previous verse that, look, there was no beauty that we should, when we see him, we should even desire him. Even when he came into this world, he had lowly beginnings. They couldn't find a place. He was born among donkey, you know, stuff, you know, in a stable, horses and stuff all over the place, you know. But that's what God chose. Hallelujah. Praise God. The way that God does his things is different than every one of us. And this same Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. This same Jesus that the world rejected, God has given him a name and he has highly exalted him. You know, the stone which the builders rejected, this same stone has become the head of the corner. Hallelujah. He is the head of the corner. This same stone. You know, the people, you know, the things that people reject, sometimes it's exactly what God chooses. Or let me put it the other way around. That's not very accurate. You know, the more accurate thing is that the things that God had chosen most of the time are rejected by man. Yeah, that one is more accurate. You know, what God has already chosen, people don't know about it. You know, they reject it because it really doesn't look good. It's not as polished. It's not as smooth, you know, as what they would like and so forth. But God knows what he is doing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus Christ is called the stone which the builders rejected. It's in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42. Did you never read this in the scripture? That the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our sight. Hallelujah. Now, in the book of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. You know, this is again the way God does things. God could have chosen, you know, some of the bigger cities, you know, and so forth like that. But he found a littlest city, you see. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be smallest among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth he that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting. Hallelujah. Jesus came from Bethlehem, which everyone said, no, nobody comes from there, and so forth like that. But that's how he did it, you know. Now, we said all of that to say this, and we're going to bring this to a close. Are you going to be part of those that are the called, you know, and that the chosen, and who remain faithful unto the end? Today, you can start that journey. I know many of you here are believers, but there's other people that may be listening. You can start that journey today by receiving the call. Jesus already put the call out by the gospel. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Jesus himself said, no man, no one that comes unto me will I cast out. I will in no wise cast them out. You know, so you can receive that call today. But I want to give you, those of you who have given your life to Christ and known the love of God and his forgiveness, I want to give you assurance of the scriptures that you have been chosen. Amen. That's right. You have been chosen. Don't let the devil tell you anything different. You have been chosen. That's right. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, you know, to let you know that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a peculiar people. God has chosen you to show forth his marvelous works, you know, and do show the light of God. Let it shine out of you. Show the praises of him, you know, and so forth. God has chosen you. Praise the Lord. He has chosen us from, you know, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. We're chosen from the beginning of the world, even before the world began. And the Holy Spirit, this is what Jesus said, John chapter 14 and verse 16. This is how you are going to be faithful. Jesus said it himself, John 14 and 16. He said, look, I'm going to send you another comforter, and he's going to be with you, and he will be with you till the end. That's right. He will abide with you forever. You know, when he's abiding with you, he's giving you strength. You know, you need to rely upon his grace every single day. Trust God completely for his choice. Don't let the devil come to you and say, how do you know you are saved? Well, you know, you believe the word of God. The Bible says, you know, if you believe on him whom God has sent, which is the Son of God, that he died for our sins and God raised him from the dead, and if you confess it with your mouth, that you shall be saved. Praise the Lord. That's right. You must receive him. But before that, you must also repent of your sins. On the day of Pentecost, they asked Peter, what shall we do? And he said, repent ye. Acts 2 and 36. God has made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And then he went on to tell them the next couple of verses, say, repent ye and be converted. Hallelujah. And then God shall give you the Holy Spirit. You must repent. You know, you can't just, you know, say, I accept the Lord Jesus. Well, a lot of people say, oh, I accept the Lord Jesus. No, there's no such thing. You know, you must repent. Repent and be converted. You can't do it by yourself, but the Lord is the one that makes you repent. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, now therefore know that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. If you are in Christ and you're not a new creature, then you are not in Christ. You know, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Hallelujah. And it starts by receiving the call and repenting and saying, Lord Jesus, you know, I know that the law has condemned me, but the grace through our Lord Jesus Christ brought me salvation and forgiveness. And I receive that forgiveness. Hallelujah. And I confess all my sins, and I know you are faithful and just to forgive me. It's that simple. But you can't just say, I accept. You have to repent. You have to turn around. And you have to let the Lord do that work of salvation in your life. Praise God. And then you go on to believe and trust him completely that you have already been chosen before the world began. And don't let the enemy tell you, oh, you're not saved or you don't believe, you know, and so forth. And then finally, you continue to believe him for the grace to keep you faithful unto the end. Hallelujah. You believe that you know that you are called because you received the call. You believe that you are chosen because you read it in the Word of God. You came through that door, and now you look back and you see, and it says, you have been chosen to enter through these doors, you know, and then you trust him completely to lead you to faithfulness through the end. I want us to stand to our feet this morning. And I am going to pray, and I'm going to ask, if you want to join that prayer, whether you are listening here in the house or watching online or some other way later on, you know, there is a call that the Lord has made, and he gave us that commission to do the same. He made us to be, you know, ambassadors for Christ, that we should go out and say to people, behold, thy God cometh, be ye reconciled unto thy God. Now, if you are there and you want to reconcile unto your God today, you know, just know that Jesus Christ, whom the world rejected, the same has been chosen to become the chief cornerstone upon whom the church is built. And he's the one that brings us salvation. So I want us to pray. Every hand's really lifted up here this morning as we pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for anyone that is listening that today would say, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. I turn my life over. I repent of my sins and I ask, Lord, for forgiveness, and that you convert my heart from the kingdom of darkness unto the glorious light of our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone will say that today, Father, I pray that you reveal yourself unto them. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that they will believe that you came into this world to die for our sins, and you died and you rose again for our justification. And if they believe it, Lord, I pray that they will have the grace to confess it with their mouth in the mighty name of Jesus, and then to trust that they know that they have been chosen. And I pray, Lord, for every one of us that has received the grace of God unto salvation. Because the Bible said the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto every man, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live in this world soberly, righteously, and godly, and expecting the glorious coming of our great God and the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of you who have received the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to rely upon his strength to make you faithful. Don't say you can do it by your power. Like Peter said, you might fall down flat on your face. But trust in the grace and in the strength of the Lord. And if you do fall, arise again. Amen. Don't stay down. Don't take your life like Judas did. There's no repentance when you take your life, you know. But come to God again for renewal. And the washing of renewal by the word of God and the renewing of the Holy Spirit will keep you going until the end. Father, we pray for the grace that we may be faithful unto the end, and that we may be among those not only who were called but are now chosen, as we now know, but are who will remain faithful unto the end. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And if you believe that prayer, you can say amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, that was a different kind of message. It's foundational, but I wanted to get it out there, you know, to help us to know that that's where we are going, and that's our goal. Our goal is to be not only the called, but also, you know, to know that we are chosen and to be remain faithful unto the end. And Jesus is the author and finisher. He started with us, and he will bring us through to the end in Jesus' name. Amen.